All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. There's a fire in Norman. We're here to fan those fucking flames. Sliding down the fire pole straight into your ears with this week's podcast.
Just like Iowa State, we're here to plant our flag in your ears as the best college football podcast on this planet. Let's go.
All right, we're going to start off with a little bit of a new segment. It's called Marketing 101, where we make up fake ads for companies that are actually better than their stupid-ass fucking commercials. So here we are. CJ's going to start it off.
So here we go. We got our first ad of the week is SparkNotes. So, you know, we're going to do our recap segment. So, you know, what's better than a recap is than SparkNotes. So here's what they want us to say. Have you ever had to read Macbeth but only have 10 minutes to study before you go out? SparkNotes will provide you with the tools and smarts to get at least the 65 on your next quiz. Just remember, you passed high school because of us. SparkNotes.
That's the perfect ad for SparkNotes we've created. I mean, they should take a page out of our playbook. Marketing 101.
I mean, it's a perfect ad because what else do you use SparkNotes for? Just trying to get good grades on quizzes, right? Nobody ever uses SparkNotes for anything else.
Not having to read stupid-ass books like Macbeth.
Exactly. I don't even think Macbeth is a book.
It's a play, but like it's turned into being read from a book.
That's true. That's true. All right. Man, all right. Let's get into it, dude. Let's get into the...
Recap of last week. All right. What's your most exciting win of last week?
Dude, my most exciting win... Actually, I called this one on the last podcast. My most exciting win of the week is NC State over Louisville. It was a nice Thursday night game. Love the midweek games. Those are always a fun one. But, you know, we had Lamar Jackson, Action Jackson, in action against NC State. I called it, man. I called NC State on that. I think they're legit, and they got no love.
That was your pick. I mean, they looked legit. They look like they have a quarterback. They look like they can play some defense. I mean, that was a surprise for me. I didn't see it coming. I thought Louisville would edge them out, but it looks like Louisville may just have Mr. Action Jackson, and that's about it because they looked unimpressive on Thursday night.
Lamar is their only player. They have no one else on that team is even remotely as close to as good as he is. And also, their team, I believe, is just overall worse than last year. I think they graduated some big pieces, and man, I don't think they're the same team this year.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, they don't look nearly as good.
All right, what do you got for most exciting play?
Most exciting win last week. It's all about the fucking action. All right. Buffalo versus Western Michigan, 7 overtimes. Let's fucking go. That's what I'm talking about.
Woo! I love it. I love it.
A barn burner.
You gotta love a 7 overtime game.
We had a lot of good games this week. We had Texas, Kansas State in a double OT thriller. A boring double OT thriller, but a double OT thriller.
Yes, true. Very boring, actually.
And then we got Miami with the gut check finish. That was a hell of a play to end that game.
Hell of a throw.
Mr. Braxton Berrios showed out in that game. Little white dude. Touchdown receptions.
Did,
like, looked, was all over the field. Couldn't stop.
He led the U in receiving.
It was great.
That was awesome.
I don't know if we've ever seen that at the U. Little white receiver.
No.
Someone needs to bring back some film of the last time a little 5'11 white guy was the star receiver at the U.
Led them in receiving?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder what Michael Irving thinks about that.
You know, Berrios is no Michael Irving, but...
No, he's not.
He showed out last week.
Yeah, that was a good one. That was a really good... What did you think about that Michigan State-Michigan game?
Oh, God. Ugly.
I know, right? In the pouring rain?
Pouring rain. Michigan couldn't do anything on offense. 10 points, that's embarrassing. I mean, it's Michigan State's a defensive team. D'Antonio's a great defensive coach, but damn. Michigan, I could not have been wrong on Michigan. We'll touch a little bit more in our next segment. But wow, that was just...
We did that. How much do you think the weather factored into that? Because it was pouring down rain. You know, it was a monsoon out there. They couldn't throw the ball.
I mean, I get that. But, like, you should be able to just Michigan looked like they were going to be a much more physical team and looked like they should have been able to run the football on them, but they just got outplayed.
If you're top seven, if you're number seven in the nation, you should be able to go out in any conditions and handle an unranked team at home. That's ridiculous. They should not have lost that game. I think it's poor coaching. No. I don't think they were ready to go.
No, it doesn't seem, they didn't look like they were ready to go. That is for sure. You can't let the rain hurt you that much. I get it. It's hard. Like it makes things difficult, but you can still throw the football in the rain. You're keeping your ball boys are keeping those balls dry using all kinds of crazy ass means. I did it out there. It was fucking nuts. Rain games. The SMU TCU rain game back in 2012 or whatever when it was pouring down. We had that thing. We had fucking raincoats wrapped around the footballs to keep them dry. We could still pass the ball. I mean, you got to be able to pass the ball.
You have to be.
Like, you don't need to be able to throw it 50 times in that game, but you can complete 15 passes for 250 yards and win the fucking football game. Put on more than 10 points.
Yeah. So, sir. So, are you calling out their managing group? Their team managers for not keeping the ball dry? Because I watched that game. They weren't throwing the ball at all.
I'm more calling out O'Korn than the manager groups. I know the managers did all in their power to keep those balls dry. And I think O'Korn and, I mean, the offense just couldn't get it done.
What happened to O'Korn? Because when he came in for Spade a couple times this season and early in last season, he actually looked pretty decent and was able to move the ball. It didn't seem like the same Michigan team. It seemed like O'Korn was not prepared.
They would prepare. They underestimated their opponent. That's absolutely what happened. And that's on coaching, and that's mainly on coaching. Yeah, lack of preparation, which is something you don't usually see with Jim Harbaugh. But today he got beat by a rival. He got outcoached by Mr.
He did. He really did get outcoached. All right, man. Let's move on. Let's go to what's your most exciting play? Anything that stuck out to you this week? Any big momentum changing?
Exciting play.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be Mr. Kenny Hill.
Ooh.
Running the sweep to the left, diving into the end zone to get that game-winning touchdown over West Virginia.
Man,
that's my homer
it.
Call of the week, but that got the place going and helped us TCU get our own gut check win against a good West Virginia team.
A very good West Virginia team, and TCU did not play their best game at all and still came out with a victory. That's a championship caliber team. That's something Michigan couldn't do. Michigan couldn't go in and win an ugly game that there's a bunch of mistakes. You don't play your best, and you still have to come out with a win. And that's what TCU did this weekend, and it was huge for them.
Yeah, you have to be able to grind it out. I mean, even when you're not playing your best offensively, when they're dialing up defensive plays that are giving your offense a little bit of a loop, you got to be able to grind it out, and you got to be able to find a way to win. I mean, we certainly did. You looked how we scored. The throwback pass to have Kenny Hill catch it and run for a touchdown. I mean, a QB sweep. Kenny Hill, I mean, he made some good passes, but he wasn't out there just breaking them down. And we didn't – Darius Anderson and Kyle Hicks didn't break them down. I mean, they had a great defensive game plan. They came to play.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I hats off to their defensive coordinator for that game plan because it worked. I mean, it stifled our offense.
Exactly.
But our defensive game plan was great as well. Our special teams were great. We stifled their offense for most of the game as well. So
it was what I call a Big 12 defensive showdown, because when you have two teams that score under 40 points with top offenses like that, that means it's a great defensive game.
It really was. And that's funny to say because West Virginia had 500 yards and I think TCU had 400.
Exactly. So it's wild when you're talking about the Big 12 defenses. The offenses are so good that just the defensive scale is so much different than any other conference in the nation.
Right, right. All right, man. My most exciting play this week was it was actually in the Iowa State-OU game. It was Alan Lazard's jump ball touchdown 20-yard pass with 2:19 left on the clock. He just bodied that OU DB.
How about that redshirt senior, former walk-on quarterback coming in to fucking beat OU at OU? What's his name? I don't even know his name. I think it's Kentle or something like that.
It's like Kentle, yeah.
Kentle, yeah. Whatever the fuck it is. He fucking balled out 3 TD passes. We've been talking about how bad OU's defense is, and it finally came back to bite him in the ass. Losing at home is fucking ridiculous.
That was embarrassing. They were just throwing jump balls, and the Iowa State's receivers were coming down with it. It was a very bad showing by OU. I do not believe in their secondary one bit.
If Stoops wasn't on the hot seat before this game and before the Baylor game, he now is firmly, squarely on the hot seat because he just gave up 38 points at home to an Iowa State team that could only score 10 points on Texas at home.
He has to be.
It's absurd. How can he not coach defense? He's been coaching for 30 years. How is it so bad?
It's atrocious. It's atrocious at this point. It's just sad how terrible their defense was horrible last year. Their defense was horrible the year before that.
Since Venables left. Since they got rid of Venables to bring in Stoops. One of the worst coaching decisions Bob Stoops made in his entire career.
Oh, yes. One of the worst. I mean, look at what Venables doing now in Clemson.
He's running the show.
They're all right, balling out.
Let's go. Now let's move on. Dumbass play call / worst play of the week. What do you have?
Dude, this was a tough one. There wasn't really that many, you know, crazy dumb play calls this week. I think my crazy dumb play call was in the Michigan game. You know, just an ugly, ugly game. Just disgusting. It was, you know, rainy and pouring. And Harbaugh calls it's third and two in about the end of the third quarter. And Harbaugh calls this dumb ass play action pass where O'Korn just, I mean, it was so dumb to call play action pass in that point in the pouring rain. O'Korn probably threw it 7 yards over the guy's head because the balls were so wet and the conditions were terrible. I mean, you gotta run the ball. You're Michigan. You're bigger. You're better. You have better athletes than Michigan State. Just run the ball. Get the first down. Keep the clock in the game moving.
Hey, I mean, it's hard to call a game in the rain like that. And yet, sometimes you just make mistakes. It cost him dearly, though. My pick, though, has got to be Miami of Ohio driving in to score, and they stack the two linemen right in the backfield in the shotgun to try to just drive it, pile drive it home. Snap, the ball hits off the fucking guard or tackle or whatever they have in the backfield. Bowling Green takes it 99 yards to seal the fucking game.
That was a bad one.
If you're going to call the play, make sure that your fucking guard isn't standing right behind the center and you can get the snap off at least. You're down by one going into the end zone to score and you run that little gimmick play and fucking can't even get the snap to the quarterback.
He was right behind the center.
Yeah, he was. His leg was like halfway in between the center. It was ridiculous. If you're the quarterback, how do you not call it out? Somebody has to notice.
If you're the quarterback, why don't you say, hey, fat ass, move.
Move over to the right.
I know. Ridiculous. God, it's terrible.
Oh, man. That was ugly. It was absolutely disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting.
All right. Let's roll on to upsets of the week.
There were some good ones this week, huh, Blake? Some really nice ones.
There were some good ones. Who's your first one?
Oh, dude, I got to lead off with, it was probably my favorite game, not my favorite game, but one of my favorite games over the weekend was definitely that Iowa State over OU game, man. That was huge. Hell of an upset. You have OU coming in as world beaters. They're number 3 in the nation. They're supposed to just kick the shit out of Iowa State. Okay. Iowa State's starting quarterback wasn't even with the team, didn't even travel. They bring in, as you talked about, a former walk-on fifth-year senior, and they upset number 3 in the nation. I mean, come on, dude. You can't write a movie better than this.
No, it was insane. Absolutely hysterical for everyone else in the Big 12. It honestly just proved what we were saying about OU's defense. And, I mean, Baker Mayfield just couldn't – he wasn't even the best quarterback on the field in this game.
No, he wasn't.
Which is wild. Wild that a senior redshirt walk-on came into his house and just planted his dick on Baker Mayfield's face, essentially.
Just pulled down his pants.
So my upset of the week – yeah, technically it's an upset. They're a ranked team, and like we've been saying, not a very good team. It's LSU winning by one at Florida.
Oh, Coach O's back. He's off the hot seat.
Two fucking bad SEC football teams playing an ugly fucking game.
That's the SEC
for you.
And
that was my upset of the week, though.
I love it, because LSU is supposed to get just rolled by Florida.
Well, I mean, they're both bad.
We've been talking about this literally every single podcast, is that Florida is overrated and it's
not
and
a top 25 team at all.
At all. Not even close. Not even close.
There's so many teams that have looked better.
So many. Dude, like, they're like, I think Texas Tech would kick the shit out of Florida.
They would probably kick the shit out of most of the SEC. And they might be the fifth best Big 12 team. But who knows? It's absolutely absurd that Florida was the top-ranked team to begin with. But we'll move on. We'll talk about that in our next segment. All right. And our final recap of the week. Back to this Iowa State-OU game. Joel fucking Lanning.
Dude, this guy.
Middle linebacker. He does it all. I wouldn't be surprised if they put him in at fucking punter and kicker and just let him do that, too.
Next week, I heard he's playing DN. Let's go. Put him everywhere.
Jack of all trades. He easily looks 30 pounds bigger than he was last year as a quarterback, naturally, bulking up to play linebacker. Still gets in there and has 50 yards of offense by himself.
He had a sack, 25 passing. A fumble recovery.
Like, 8 tackles as well. Like,
I know. This guy's awesome.
I want Joel Lanning to be a middle linebacker in the league and then also play some quarterback in the league.
Yes.
Because that would be awesome.
I think he should be getting Heisman votes. You're saying the best overall football player in the NCAA? This guy can play quarterback and linebacker. That's a pretty good football player.
I would vote for him for a Heisman vote. I mean,
I like it.
Like, that would be – I mean, it's – he's not the best at either of those positions, but if you put them together, like – I think he should be up there.
But is he the most valuable college football player? Maybe, because he plays two positions.
Both. I mean, like, yeah, if you can do both, like, that's pretty unheard of. And I don't know if we've ever had a middle linebacker quarterback combo in NCAA.
Probably not since like the 1930s.
That's true. I mean, who knows if Sammy Baugh or Davey O'Brien played defense? I don't even know if you can find that tape anymore.
Back when they had like 15 people on their roster, so they just played the whole game.
It's crazy looking back at those pictures, and it's just like, it literally looks like smaller than like a little league football team.
I know. All right, dude. I can't get over this guy. I mean, Joel Lanning, he's just, it's like the video game character you used to make in the NCAA growing up. Like, oh, let me be this just giant ass quarterback in it. But I'm also going to twilight as a middle linebacker.
he's the beast of the Midwest. I mean,
there we go. I love it.
All right. Now roll on to our next segment. Burn the fucking tape. I have a specific group in mind for this that you never want to see that tape again.
All right. Let me hear it. Give it to me.
Well, Colorado's defense giving up 330 rushing yards to the fucking quarterback at Arizona. I don't give a shit how fast he is. Once you get to 200 yards, you load the box with 9 people. Leave a wide receiver open for all I fucking care. You just can't let that guy run for any more yards. Like, that's absurd.
Do these guys know what a quarterback spy is? A guy that just follows the quarterback around?
If he's running for 200 yards, you go man-to-man and put everyone else in the box. Make him throw the ball to beat me.
Yes.
Make him throw the ball to beat me. Like, if they're in 4 wide, that gives you 7 guys in the box. That's 2 more defenders than they have linemen.
It's ridiculous,
running back,
Blake.
You can take it off. You still have 1 more guy than the offense does to stop the fucking quarterback. It's insane.
The quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterback.
This is insane.
So if you're Colorado's defensive tape, you take that tape, every known copy you can find, you create a virus from Anonymous and fucking scour the internet, burn that fucking tape, get rid of
bury
it, get it off the face.
Bury it. Dude, I think, do you fire your defensive coordinator after that game? How do you, as a defensive coordinator, you go into your head coach's office and say, man, I did my best job. Their quarterback ran for 327 yards.
Well, Matt Brown fired Manny Diaz after Taysom Hill ran, or maybe it wasn't, whoever the BYU quarterback was at the time.
Whoever
he fired him after that
300
yard game. Yeah. Yeah, after his second mission in Uruguay. Came back to the States and ran for 300 yards and lost Manny Diaz's job.
Manny Diaz deserved to get fired. He sucked.
Dude, he's back somewhere. I don't remember where. I think he's the defensive coordinator at the U now.
No way.
He's somewhere. Let me look it up right now.
Dude, I don't...
I saw him on the side. I was like, dude, that's
okay.
Manny Diaz.
But, okay, so I'll go...
He's the defensive coordinator of the Hurricanes right now.
Dude, wow, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. He was good at
Mississippi
State.
Good for Manny.
Yeah, he's back. Manny Diaz is back.
Okay, so my burn, I've got two quick burn tapes real quick. One is Maryland's defense. Oh, what the hell was that?
Yikes.
62 points to OSU, who could hardly score 30 on O, didn't even score 30 on OU's defense.
Yeah.
They scored 62 on Maryland.
Yeah, it was ugly.
Burn that tape.
Agreed.
Now.
Burn that tape.
Just keep the Texas game on repeat if you're Maryland. Oh, remember when we beat Texas at the beginning of the year? Just keep thinking about that.
Yeah, because it's clearly not going uphill from here. But that leads us perfectly into our next segment, which is our fuck-ups of last week. We got to admit when we're wrong, and we had a couple doozies last week.
We did. We had some
we had some
dumb
real
ass
long
calls.
I'll start with mine. My first one, Washington versus Cal, putting Washington on upset alert. Huge mistake, because they just whipped the shit out of Cal. Didn't even look close.
Whipped their ass.
It was absolutely absurd.
Yeah, so my fuck-up was... I put Georgia on upset alert against Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt was at home. I thought they may show up. Nope, they decided to do anything but play a football game that day and lost 45-14. So,
yeah,
Vanderbilt, thank you for making me look like an idiot. I gave you some notoriety and tried to support Vanderbilt football.
Tried to give the small school some love.
I'm done.
We're
goodbye,
done with that
Vanderbilt.
Bullshit. Goodbye, Vanderbilt. See you later. See you never.
See you next season, maybe, when you beat some middling SEC team once a year.
So, and I have to, my last one, this is not just last week. This has been a couple weeks. It's my Michigan as a college football playoff Final Four pick.
Mm.
I thought they were better. I thought I had some Harbaugh faith, and it failed me. It did me wrong, so.
You know, I was right there with you though. I had them ranked as 5 in most of my weeks, and I thought they were pretty good. I honestly thought they would be better with Okorn, and it is clear that they are not at all.
They got a quarterback problem. They got a big old quarterback problem.
Yeah, it's rough because you think Harbaugh would, you know, be able to get a good quarterback, being a quarterback himself and being able to coach quarterbacks so well. You'd think he would have either one or two guys that could go out and, you know, be competent, but Michigan, they couldn't move the football.
No.
We'll see. They could still, they've got Ohio State and Penn State, you know, coming up on the schedule. So if they pull up two upsets, they could still be, you know, right there in the playoff, discussion when the season's over, but I don't believe in them right now.
No, they got to find some kind of solution in the passing game. They got to find some offense, or else they won't be there. Big Ten is down. I think they still have a lot of winnable games on their schedule. And I don't think there's a single game that they'll get blown out in because their defense is so damn good. But, yeah, that's a disappointment. Very disappointing.
Yeah, but, you sure. Know. I gotta admit when I'm wrong as well. I think my last one. SMU at U of H. I thought SMU was going to go out and beat Houston. I think I said they'd probably win by 21. Not quite. So,
Not quite.
Houston's good. Houston's a lot better than I thought. I will give them props. Basically, SMU, all they have is Cortland Sutton. I mean, he had 160 yards receiving, so he's probably going to bail to the NFL next year, along with Chad Morris. I'm done with SMU. I'm done with their bandwagon. See you guys.
We out on SMU. All right. Now let's roll into rankings. Talk about the AP rankings a little bit.
All right, man. There was changes.
Big changes.
Some I don't agree with. Some I do.
Yeah, I mean, like, I have to go on my little rant right here. We're a Mike Leach podcast.
We are.
How can you fucking tell me that you watch Wisconsin and you watch Washington State, and Wisconsin looks like a better football team than Washington State? How can you sit here and tell me that?
You can't, Blake. Wisconsin is not a top 10 football team, and we can agree on that.
No, and Washington State absolutely is. They look
awesome.
They went to Oregon and they beat the shit out of Oregon. Like, give me a fucking break. Washington State's honestly played as good as Washington, if not better. Like, it's absolutely absurd. My next little rant is, how do you have Auburn and Ohio State over an undefeated Miami team who just gut checked? Like, I don't care if you think Florida State's bad. A rivalry game at home and you win like that, you still got to give them the props they deserve for being an undefeated team. I don't care if they've only won four games.
Football team. They are, like, ranked over one-loss teams. That is how this works. This is so the bias that everybody sees with, ooh, Auburn, ooh, Ohio State. No.
It's absurd.
They've lost games.
And then another one, Oklahoma should not be ahead of Oklahoma State. Probably shouldn't be ahead of USC either. If you're going to tell me that Oklahoma State's loss to TCU was a better loss than, or worse loss than Oklahoma's loss to Iowa State at home, that's insane to me. Like, I get it, they were at 3, but they were overranked at 3. I mean, they're no better than 15. Virginia Tech's a better football team. They're better than Notre Dame. I mean, they're not the 12th ranked team in the nation, and it's another homer thing.
I think USC should be maybe number 21. USC has not looked good, Blake.
Yeah, but they keep winning. And I think they've earned it more than Oklahoma. Their loss is better than Oklahoma's. They lost to Washington State.
Oklahoma had a terrible loss. I don't know how you stay at number 12 after that loss.
No. I mean, like, they were at number three before, but, like, it's like they should be at 15 at the highest right now. At the highest. Because they're going to lose more games. I mean, possible lose to Texas this week. Who knows in that rivalry game? I mean, they have a tough schedule. Still have to play West Virginia. Still have to play TCU. They've proven that they can't really play defense, so they have to beat people with their offense. And Baker Mayfield can't throw to wide receivers who aren't wide open. Like, it's just plain and simple. When he has big games, he throws to wide open receivers. When he has bad games, it's when he has to try to throw the perfect NFL-type pass.
Like,
he's a gamer. He's a big-time player.
Iowa State played great defense.
That's ridiculous. I'm trying to think. I have a couple more things I want to talk about as well, is how West Virginia is not considered a top 25 team when their two losses are to Virginia Tech and TCU in both very close games.
And they've lost to number 15 and number 6.
Yeah,
and
in close games,
by a combined 14.
Yeah, exactly. So that's absurd. You put Stanford up there, who lost to, I mean, they have good losses too. But still, like, if you're going to have Stanford in there, you have to have West Virginia in there. And it's a homer thing not to. USC's not as good a loss. And San Diego State's not as good a loss.
No.
So West Virginia needs to be in there. That's ridiculous.
Let's talk about, you mentioned San Diego State. Let's talk about San Diego State. They're sitting at 6-0 at number 19, Blake. Number 19. 6-0. They haven't lost a game.
Yeah, I understand this one, though. They have to get to – with those teams, you have to get to 8-0 before you can start getting talked about. That's just how it is, how it's always been. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I mean, like UCF, USF are both in that same boat. UCF's only played three games, but they've been clobbering the shit out of people. Like,
right.
It's absurd.
But San Diego State has good wins. They've got Arizona and Stanford, and Stanford was number 19.
That's
yes,
true.
They only beat them by three, but Stanford is still ranked.
That's what, very
where's
true.
The love?
I mean, I honestly
smashed
don't know.
NIU. They smashed UNLV.
Like, I agree. I like the American and Mountain West teams that go undefeated never get enough love. They don't get enough respect. People just don't understand how hard it is to even go 6-0, even if you think you're playing inferior opponents. But yeah, they're a good football team, and they've had some very good wins.
Yes, they have. I mean, they proved it more than most teams in the top 25 against solid Power 5 sure. conference foes. They've played the team. They've scheduled teams on their roster that are supposed to be better than them, and they've beaten them. Each team they've beaten. They're getting no love.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about, of these teams, your teams that are actual contenders.
My teams that are actual, so this is going to be more than just our top four because, you know, we're just going to, I think there's more than four teams right now that are actual legit contenders that can win this thing.
Yeah, I think there's 8 to 10 at the moment. 8 to 10 teams that are, I would say, have a legitimate shot to go to the playoffs and win it all.
I agree. So I've got Alabama, Clemson, Penn State, Georgia. You really don't need to talk about those. They've all proved it on the field. They are solid. You go Washington, TCU, proved yep. it on the field. Very good football teams. Definitely, they play good defense. They can play with almost anyone out there. I believe they're contenders as well. Wisconsin, no.
Not a
Washington
contender.
State, contender. Ohio State, no. Miami, or Auburn, no. Miami, yes. Miami is one of my contenders. I believe they have a good coach in Mark Richt. Their offense is coming around. It's getting a little bit better as they go. Their defense is good. So I think Miami can play with some people. I think they'll surprise. After that, I think that's it. I think those are my contenders.
I like them. I think those are all great picks. I mean, I agree with you on pretty much all of those right there. I'm going to go. So we got, I don't think Wisconsin's a contender. I agree with that. I think Ohio State's a contender just simply based on the fact that the Big Ten, I don't know if there's enough teams that can beat them in the Big Ten to knock them out. Because I think they can beat Penn State. And I think Michigan still wins, but you know, you never know with those type of deals. So I think.
But if Ohio State has that one loss to a three-loss Oklahoma school.
Agreed.
What does that do?
Great. But if they're undefeated and win the Big Ten, I think they're probably in, even if they're unqualified. That's just how it goes with the committee.
Right.
So I think that Miami's also a contender. I disagree with you. I think Auburn's a contender.
I don't.
I think that they keep on getting better, and I think they could give Alabama an actual run for their money. Alabama did look fallible at times. They had some turnovers. They had some special teams mishaps, which is not something you see from a Nick Saban team.
No.
But I think they could give it in the mix, and I don't see more than one SEC team getting to the big game. And honestly, I think that might be Georgia right now. I think Georgia might be able to surprise Alabama in the SEC championship game.
You know, I was really looking for Alabama for this to be one of those signature Alabama dominations of a lesser SEC opponent with a true freshman quarterback.
Yep.
And they didn't prove it. They played that was a good game from start to finish almost.
Absolutely.
I mean, unless the last 5 minutes, it Alabama pulled away a little bit and it was kind of out of reach, but
that whole game
they were just sitting right there.
They dominated defensively in the first half, and then they couldn't put them away. That game could have been, because 17-3 coming out of halftime, if they score two more touchdowns instead of turning the ball over and giving up a score, they rolled with that game and beat them 50-0. But if, when you start turning the ball over like that, and they have some young receivers, so they could, I mean, if they have turnover problems in big games against better opponents, then I think they could have some trouble down the line.
I agree. I mean, turnovers in college football, they mean everything. It's how you lose games. West Virginia, 2 turnovers. TCU, 0. It was a deciding factor in the game and was huge when we had those interceptions and that muffed punt that put our first touchdown on the board. We had nothing going, and then we got a fumble recovery on a muffed punt, punched it in, changed the whole game. I mean, in college football, it's all about the turnovers. They just change the game so much.
Absolutely. All right. I think we've covered the rankings and talked about how kind of fucked up they are, and these stupid fucking writers once again putting their nerd hats on and their squiggly glasses and just screwing everything up. It's really like none of these guys played or even watched football. That's what it feels like when I look at these rankings.
That's what I tell you. They watch one game, they pick their team, they watch one game, and then they just rank based on name after that. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, we need to figure out how to change the ranking processes and like find more qualified people to fucking do the rankings. It's a good thing that the College Football Playoff Committee does the rankings starting in week 8 or whatever. Because at least, I mean, those guys suck because they're biased and shit, but at least they know something about football, unlike these fuckers.
Yeah, at least they're forced to watch all the games in some weird hotel that they all have to stay in, like a freaking cult. It's super weird.
It is pretty weird. Like, why wouldn't you have it like at NCAA headquarters or some shit? Why a hotel in Dallas?
In like this just random hotel where they have to go like watch all these games together in a conference room.
Yeah, they just set up a projector in a conference room and like watch film together. It's strange how they do it. It could obviously be done a lot better with a lot less biased, more qualified people. But we'll get into that. We'll get into that on a later segment.
Yes.
Later,
we will discuss this. We'll discuss it more when the rankings are about to come out, and once they start rolling out each week and we're seeing these people that are tied to schools clearly voting for their conference and schools. But we'll discuss that.
All right, so let's roll to the fiery, cheesy Cordita Crunch beginning of the coaching carousel.
Oh, it's already started.
It started early. This is an early one.
Started early.
Gary Anderson parting ways, leaving $12 million on the table, leaving the rest of his salary for this year, like $800K on the table for this year.
Just left it. Gone. Left it,
yeah, I don't get this. Like,
I think there's something behind the scenes, man.
This AD either like found the greatest blackmail in the world on Gary Anderson, or is the greatest influencer and convincer of all time to convince someone to leave $12 million on the fucking table when they just signed a extension for him in December.
I know. There has to be more to this story. I'm calling it now. Something will probably come out down the line. It has to be. There's no other reason why a sane person would leave $12 million on the table. I mean, if you really didn't want to coach, just make them fire you and get your money.
Absolutely. Like, get your payout. Be like Charlie Weiss and get paid from 3 different schools for... He's still being paid by someone. I think it's Kansas. Maybe he's still getting paid by Notre Dame. But that's the sweet life. Just have those double checks come in. He can eat his donuts and his pizza and his Taco Bell and just fatten himself up even more. Just sitting on his lounge chair at home doing nothing.
Jeez, what a perfect life. That probably makes $5 million a year to do nothing, to sit on his ass and eat donuts. $5 million.
That's fucking absurd.
You get paid $5 million for being a bad coach. Exactly. Congratulations, you're horrible at your job. Here's $5 million a year for the next 6 years.
That's what Charlie Weiss did, essentially. That's what he did.
He's awesome. But,
I mean, I'm excited for this. Once the first one rolls, then the heads just keep coming. It's like what is it, the French Revolution on the fucking guillotine, where they're just slicing everyone up.
Just chopping.
They're just chopping away. What is that, Robespierre? Was that the guy's fucking name? The crazy psychotic?
Yeah, Robespierre.
Yeah, he fucking was chopping everyone's name. It's like he's behind the scenes just chopping all these college football coaches off.
Oh, man, I cannot believe that happened already, but I love it. I love the coaching carousel.
Hey, it's going to get exciting.
All right. Just a little one thing. One thing about this LSU-Florida game. Coach O saved his job.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they're now their 4-2 football team. Like, you can't lose. After losing to Troy, you certainly can't lose the next one.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's for sure.
Oh, no.
I mean,
no.
If you lose that one, then it starts spiraling out of control.
Yeah,
but he had a layup. I mean, Florida wasn't any good. Like, they went to the swamp, so I'll give him credit for winning in a hostile environment. But he didn't really beat a good football team, so there's still a lot of trouble to come for him.
But you beat Florida at LSU, that goes a long way, beating Florida.
That's true. It's like a loan from the U.S. government, just in desperate need of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. I love Coach O saving it just in the worst way possible on a missed extra point.
Oh, man. All right, now we're going to roll into our drum roll, please.
All right.
Baylor still sucks.
They still suck.
Even on a bye week, you still can't hide 0-5.
You can't hide. Yeah.
You cannot hide 0-5.
The bye week does not mean it's a win, so you're still 0-5.
Still 0-5.
Congrats. You have to basically win out to make a bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, they have one game leeway. I'm going to give it a 0.0% chance that they make a bowl game.
Oh, Blake. I would bet my entire salary that they won't make a bowl game.
Oh, man. That's great.
Love that segment. Best segment we do.
That's a fun one. It's a really fun one. I always enjoy it. You always enjoy it. It's good stuff.
Listeners always enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now let's go. Let's go to another one of our fan favorites. Only podcast on the internet that does our own college football playoff rankings.
The only podcast, you know, we talk about this every week. It's patent pending. Top four teams that are going to go to the college football playoff. No one does this. I mean,
hey,
original stuff.
If you hear anyone doing this on another podcast, you fucking let us know, and we're going to get our lawyer, at Adam Holden, on the case.
Yeah, we'll send out cease and desist letters immediately.
All right, so have you had much changes to yours?
Yes. It pains me to say yes, I have. So my rankings, obviously you have to go Alabama, Clemson, 1 and 2. They have been dominating. I still got Georgia at 4, but now I got Washington at 4.
Washington,
I got Georgia 3 and Washington at 4. I had to take TCU out because they didn't do it all against West Virginia. I thought they would win by more. I was hoping it would be a nice statement game. Played a really ugly game. Still managed to get a win. Still in the championship conversation. But right now, I think they're the number 5 team. So I'm gonna have to go Alabama 1, Clemson 2, Georgia 3, and Washington 4.
I like that. Hey, you got to do what you got to do. Maybe the troops will listen to that and rally. Rally
behind
it. Like, damn.
They're right there. But I'm a big prove it on the field. That's how I rank. Prove it on the field. I think out of those top 5 teams, I think TCU looked the worst this week.
I gotcha. Hey, I can appreciate
that. Unfortunately.
All right, I'm shaking mine up big time.
So I love it.
I'm rolling Clemson number 1.
Okay.
Even with the loss of their quarterback, I think they've proven to be the best football team in the nation right now. Alabama looked a little bit too infallible.
I do like that argument.
A Texas A&M team that I don't think is very good. I think they're talented. I don't think they're very good. So then I'll have Alabama 2. And then I am going to slide Georgia into my rankings at number 3. I think that's I think
we agree on that. I think they're really good, man.
They're very good. And then number four stays the same. It's Washington State. Wazoo all fucking day. Mike Leach, let's go. Another big win at Oregon. And then TCU is number five. The clear-cut number five, I think, and then Washington number six. Mm. So, and then after that, I don't really give a fuck.
Yep, I've got us. We flip flop with Washington and Washington State. Yeah. We are a Mike Leach podcast, so I do have Washington at six, Washington State at six. But I love it. I mean, I do agree with Georgia being three. Just I don't really believe in the I don't believe in the Big Ten this year. I really want to
put Georgia at number two. But I didn't because they haven't won enough big games yet. They haven't really played a very hard team. Like, Notre Dame's been good, and they beat the shit out of everyone they played. But I want to, if I had to, gun to the head who's going to win the SEC championship, I would pick Georgia right now.
Really?
I think they're hot, and I think they found a stud at quarterback with Fromm. And then they have a backup quarterback with Easton, who's also a stud. So I think they're the most college football playoff ready SEC team. This could be one of those years where they look unbeatable, but it could be one of those years where they're just expected to be so great and the expectations just get a little bit too high and they fall off in the SEC championship game.
I agree. It's like that. I haven't been impressed with Hurts that much this season. I really, when it's come down to for him to make the big play, he really hasn't made it or hasn't been in the really been in that position all that much this year. But when he hasn't made the play.
And this makes me think a lot about that third Tim Tebow year, or maybe it was right after Tim Tebow. When was it that? No, it was the last Tim Tebow year where Alabama came in and upset him in the SEC championship game to go play Texas.
Yes, that was
2009. That was Tim Tebow was still there, correct?
Tim Tebow's last year, yeah.
Yeah, so it feels oddly similar to like the changing tide in the SEC when Urban Meyer ceded the throne to Nick Saban. I don't know if Kirby Smart's ready to gain the throne, but I think it could be a year where he just slides past him in that SEC championship game.
Yeah, I like Georgia, but I'm not sure just because what you just said in having a second year Kirby Smart, is he ready for that stage? Can he coach his team to get ready to play an Alabama team who's not going to make very many mistakes? I mean, they've got a young football team in Georgia, very talented, but still young, and a young head coach. I don't know. It's going to be a hell of an SEC championship, which I think Alabama and Georgia will cruise to play each other in that SEC championship, and I think it's going to be one hell of a game. It's going to be a really interesting storyline from here on out to see how each team will respond. Because I think they are the clear-cut two best teams in the SEC. And, I mean, frankly, it's not even close with any other teams.
I think that Auburn could surprise Bama at the end just on one of those freak. If Stidham plays out of his mind and Alabama turns the ball over and their quarterback play isn't as good, I think they could give them trouble. But, like, looking at Alabama's rest of Alabama's schedule, they're just going about to run train through the rest of their schedule. Arkansas, Tennessee, LSU, Mississippi State, Mercer, then Auburn. Like, it's, I mean, Auburn's That's really four. The only test.
Right.
And if they stumble against any of these teams, then I think that Georgia jumps them in my rankings.
Definitely. Definitely. If they lose a game except for Auburn, they should fall out of the top 10, in my opinion.
All right, well, I think that's we're moving on to our final segment of the day. A little more fun. I mean, it's game day sign of the week. What do you got?
I got one. I saw that it was really, really funny. It was about West Virginia as a TCU fan made it. And it said, If a couple in West Virginia gets a divorce, are they still brother and sister? I thought that was very clever. I hadn't heard that one before.
No, that's pretty funny.
So I was cracking up when I saw that flying at game day. I was proud to be a TCU fan with that sign hanging up. I thought that was a good one. That was really clever.
I've got two. Neither of them are as good as that one, in my opinion. I think that was one of the best. One of the best there. My personal favorite, the alphabet has more W's than Baylor this season. That's an all-time classic.
Because it's very classic.
Very, very true, which I love about that. And then one from one of our buddies in the fraternity, Mr. Patrick Homan, Netflix and Hill.
That's pretty funny. I love that one
as well. Nice little very play on good. Words there.
Love it, love it.
You can actually show it on ESPN because it's G-rated, unlike most of the fun signs.
Right, shout out Patrick. Yep, great sign.
All right, so let's just wrap it up by talking about what we've got going for our next episode. We got something brand new. We're workshopping a name, but since it's Texas OU week, big huge rivalry, we're gonna have my little brother Brooks Beckelman on, and one of our resident Oklahoma friends, William Dace, and they're gonna argue. Give us their arguments about who's going to win, and then we're going to decide, base our choices for the game, on who wins the argument. So they've got a pitch to us who's going to win this football game and why their school is better.
I'm really excited for this, man. I think it's going to be fun. Great. We're going to have some good debates.
Oh, it's
going
to be electric. Two very smart people as well. So it's going to be fun to get a little bit of their intellectual sides into, and then we're just going to get them into cussing at each other by the end of it, so...
Yes, I just love this game. The storyline of this game is so great because it's OU coming off a loss in Texas trying to prove something that nobody really knows what's going to happen. I mean, it's going to be a hell of a game.
And the underlying story, you've got Baker Mayfield, Lake Travis High School in Austin versus Sam Ellinger, Westlake High School in Austin, arch rival high schools, two high school football powerhouses in the state of Texas, matching up on the big stage, Texas versus OU. So you got rivalry on rivalry. Baker Let's Mayfield go. Already started talking shit about high school, how Ellinger never beat Lake Travis or some shit.
Oh, I love it. I love the high school trash talk.
The high school trash talk.
This is going to be a fun one.
You're going to hear Herb Street and everyone on ESPN talk about it about 15 bajillion times. If you want to hear the uncensored version, you just come here to the Beer Bottle QB's podcast.
And we'll get to you straight.
Yeah, but we've got that, and then we'll have Ramblin' Gamblin' Clay, who went 3-2 last week on his picks. So if you bet with him, you won. Net win. We're going to have him back on to have his locks of the week. And then we'll have some of our other usual segments, and just it's going to be an exciting show. I'm excited.
I'm excited. I can't wait for it. I think you guys are really going to like what's coming up, what's in store. We're going to keep having some more ads, really pushing that business side hard, trying to make some money doing this.
Our marketing 101
segments. So keep looking out for those.
Marketing 101 segments, fake ads that we think should be real ads. So if you like the podcast, go follow the Instagram, go follow the Twitter, retweet, share, subscribe.
At Beer Bottle QB on Twitter.
Yep.
Come on, just help us out. It helps. It helps spread the word.
Subscribe on iTunes. Yeah, and that's a wrap for this podcast.
Look forward to our next episode coming out. Our preview should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. All right, later, guys.
Peace.